This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
June 2nd, 2018. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me at republicbroadcasting.org. I also encourage you to visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net. Be sure and click on the button up at the top that says Your Health Matters. I conduct a lot of programs about health because it is still an area in which a person may make some personal choices despite the Affordable Health Care Act. I also invite you to visit and subscribe to woolliesblog.blogspot.com and to screeningsandyhook.net. During the program, email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. You may visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. My guest today is Arthur Jones, who some might consider very controversial, especially in the state of Illinois. Most, if not all, politicians in Illinois are corrupt to the core. Arthur Jones is an honest man who tells the truth on a number of issues, and that is what makes him controversial. His website is artjonesforcongressman.com. Art, welcome to the program.
Yes, well, thank you. I appreciate being on your program.
Well, I appreciate you joining me today. It's a lovely day here. Not too hot. We've had some horrible heat lately, but it's kind of cooled off. Anyway, when we were talking this week, you mentioned that you had been in Vietnam, and I know that you experienced, as many of the veterans did in Vietnam, that you were exposed to Agent Orange, and I have had guests on the program who are children of veterans who were exposed to that deadly, deadly, toxic Agent Orange, and they have health issues. Would you like to share your experience about Vietnam with us?
Well, that's like 40 years ago. But basically, I was with the 4th Infantry Division up in the Central Highlands, Binh Dinh Province. I was an 81-millimeter mortarman and automatic rifleman. I was in the 1970 invasion of Cambodia that President Nixon launched. We got tired of all the sanctuary city nonsense there in Cambodia. I like the sanctuary city fools we have here in this country, okay? As far as Agent Orange, they were dropping that stuff up in the Central Highlands like it was snow, okay? It was in the water, it was in the trees, it was on the ground. I mean, you know, so I have been exposed to it. I was in an area that was heavily exposed to it. And I think one of the byproducts of the exposure was I developed a cancerous tumor in one of my kidneys. And that was diagnosed on December 6th of 2016. And I went to the VA. They said, oh, don't worry about it. You know, it's just small little tumor, no problem, okay? Come back and see us in June. Well, in May,
wow.
I started urinating blood. And at that point, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I went over to the VA hospital. They did a CAT scan on me, and lo and behold, that tiny little tumor had grown to the size of a golf ball. And they decided that I had to have surgery, but they couldn't take me right away because they had other people ahead of me. So they put me on a waiting list. I was on a waiting list for over a year, okay?
Oh.
And during that time, I decided to run for Congress, and they've had me on a drug called Hydrocone to kill the pain, okay? So I'd be out there getting those signatures, and sometimes the drug would wear off, and believe me, I'm standing there on someone's porch there talking to them, and the drug would wear off, and it'd be like someone just ripping my side with a knife. I mean, it was just absolutely intense pain like you wouldn't believe. And I held on to that pain as long as I could. I filed my signatures, for Congress on December 4th for the State Board of Elections in Springfield. Waited another week to find out if I was going to have a challenger. You know, normally the Republicans always put up somebody against me. Well, this time they didn't. But four attorneys examined my nomination papers, trying to find some way to knock me off the ballot. They couldn't do that. Then they went out as imposters, posing as from the State Board of Elections themselves, asking people, was that really your signature on the paper? Did you really sign to put Mr. Jones on the ballot, trying to build a case of vote fraud against me? Okay? And they couldn't do that. So then they had 45 days to find somebody to put up as a write-in candidate, and they couldn't find anybody in the Republican Party to run as a write-in candidate. So finally, right away, what happened was, on December 26th of 2017, I had the surgery, and they ended up removing my entire right kidney. Okay? So, as far as I know, I'm cancer-free, but who knows the way cancer goes, all right? But I was out there getting those signatures, oftentimes in intense pain, and you don't do that out of hate. You do that when you feel very strongly about something, and in my case, I did it because I'm afraid that this country is on a path toward war with Iran. And I told people that. I spoke to over 2,000 people in the 3rd Congressional District going door to door to door, all right? And I told them my main concern, sir or ma'am, as the case may be, I said, is that we are on a path toward war against Iran. And if we go to war against Iran, it'll be a worse bloodbath than Vietnam was. And I don't want to see any American, black, white, Asian, Latino, I don't want to see any American go through that kind of a conflict, all right, when there's no need for it. So that was my main issue, and even the people that didn't sign my nomination papers, I had 838 signatures, I needed 603 to get on the ballot. I got 838 and filed that. But even the ones who didn't sign totally agreed with me, okay, that we should not get ourselves involved in another war in the Middle East, especially with a country like Iran, which is big as the state of Texas, with over 80 million people, and the latest military technology from the Russians and the Red Chinese and the North Koreans, and even some of our allies, okay, like Great Britain, France, Germany, Sweden, and Denmark, and even Israel supplied Iran with weapons when they were holding our hostages. That had that Iran-Iraq war, and we supplied the Iraqis, the Israelis supplied the Iranians, and they went to war against each other, and over a million people were killed in that conflict that lasted 8 years. So imagine what it would be if the United States goes to war against Iran. It'll be a bloodbath. And that was my main concern, and is still my main concern in this campaign. And every Republican congressman, Deanna, every Republican congressman in the state of Illinois signed a statement opposing my campaign. They said, oh, he's not a real Republican. He doesn't believe in the Holocaust. Okay? But they all are in favor of a war with Iran. And my opponent, Dan Lipinski, the Democrat, he is sponsoring a bill in the legislature with a Republican named Peter Roskam, okay? And that bill would make it a criminal offense to support a boycott against Israel. And that bill, if it's passed, will provide for a 5-year prison penalty if you participate in a boycott against Israel. So that's the kind of guy I'm running against.
Good heavens. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, I am anti-war. I don't think that this country should have fought in the First World War, the Second World War, certainly not in any other war since the Second World War. I'm just, and we shouldn't be, we shouldn't be in the Middle East. There is absolutely no reason for us to be there. And what the U.S. military and its allies did in Iraq is absolutely abominable. They destroyed the entire country when they went in twice. And they took it down to it was a very forward country. It was modern. They had dams, they had all kinds of modern facilities. And by the time that the second invasion, they were down to 4% electricity. The rivers were full of feces. People were getting sick. 850,000 children died. 500,000 children died. And Madeleine Albright said, "Oh, we think it was worth it." What in heaven's name are people thinking when they support
exactly.
a government?
You know, one of the crimes that we are committing in that part of the world is we are using in our ammunition what's called depleted uranium. And your listeners should Google depleted uranium, okay, after this interview is over with. And you will see some of the most horrible birth defects that children are experiencing over there. And also, our American troops are experiencing the same thing in their own families, okay? Agent Orange is bad enough, but this depleted uranium is creating human monsters, okay? And the longer we stay there spreading radiation throughout the entire area over there, all right, the more enemies we're making. Now, I'd like to read, if you let me do this, I have a press release that I wanted to read. You know, I called a press conference last week, and instead of responding to my press conference, the news media went to the press conference called by Mr. Pritzker, who's running for governor, okay? He had his press conference on the same day, at the same time, on the same
How street convenient.
As me, two blocks down.
What a coincidence.
Yes. Now, here it is, okay? It says, "New Trump policy puts Israel first. The American people elected Donald Trump president of the United States based on a promise he made if he was elected. And that promise was to end U.S. involvement in the wars in the Middle East. Like President Obama before him and President Bush before President Obama, he has failed to keep that promise. In fact, he has begun a new, far more dangerous and reckless policy that could lead to a much larger war in the Middle East. The recognition of Jerusalem as the national capital of Israel. The city was designated by the United Nations as an open international city where Christians, Muslims, and Jews will be free to worship God in their own ways. The recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital has changed all that. Almost the entire world has turned against the United States as a result of that new Trump policy. And now with a brutal slaughter of over 60 Palestinians and the warning of another 2,700 in just one day, we have lost all of what little credibility we have with the entire Muslim world. Why all this affection for a nation, I'm talking about Israel now, for a nation of communists, atheists, crooks, sex traffickers, illegal drug dealers, pornographers, assassins, spies, sadistic torturers, and war criminals? We've elected as a president a man who is proving by his action that he is indifferent to the chaos and the loss of thousands of lives of innocent men, women, and children. His incoherent ways of governing have produced in the entire Middle East. However, that is still not enough to satisfy the Jewish Israel lobby in Washington, D.C., and in every state in our country. Their next target is to see to it that Iran is destroyed the way we have destroyed Iraq and Afghanistan, and their stooge, Donald Trump, is willing to do it. As a congressional candidate, I pledge to the voters of the 3rd Congressional District that I will never vote for one single dime of your tax dollars to aid Israel in its murderous campaigns of genocidal war against the Christian and Muslim of Palestine, nor will I vote to commit U.S. forces in a war against Iran. Such a war for Israel's benefit against Iran, which counts as its allies, Russia, China, and North Korea, could in fact lead to a true holocaust of nuclear war. I call upon President Trump to reassess his Israel First policy and to return to the promise you made to the American people, a promise that in all foreign affairs, you would put America first. That was my press release that never got released to the press because they were attending Pritzker's conference, which calls for the passage of the ERA.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
What was his Pritzker's?
I think your press conference should have been on national TV. On all the main stations.
Well, I'm going to reprint this press release. I'm going to reprint it. I'm going to insert it in my campaign literature when we go door to door in the 3rd District. I'm going to make sure that the people, you know, get this press release, okay? Because that's what is my most major concern, is to keep us out of another war in the Middle East. And this war, believe me, it does have the potential to become a all-out nuclear conflict involving the United States and Russia and China and, you know, Israel. For example, Iran has what's called the Sunburn missile. This is an anti-ship missile developed by the Russians and given to the Iranians, okay? And that missile, our own Navy admits, has no defense against it, okay? So they shoot one of those missiles at one of our ships, like an aircraft carrier that's parked off there, off the coast of Iran, all right? And boom, that missile strikes the aircraft carrier, and immediately we're going to lose about 6,000 men just like that. And if we took that kind of a loss, believe me, Trump would not just send in a little fleet of planes to bomb. He would probably drop a nuke on Tehran. And if that happened, we would have World War III erupting. So, and all this because of the influence of the Israeli lobby on our president and on our Congress. All these congressmen, all right, they're part of what I call the two-party, Jew-party, queer-party system, okay? They are committed to war against Iran, all right? They think it's going to get them reelected. Anybody that would send these people back to Congress, the Republicans here that signed the statement against me, okay, they're a bunch of warmongers. I'm the only one in the state of Illinois standing against this Jewish onslaught for war against Iran.
You might be the only person in the whole country, the only politician in the whole country. And the U.S. government has never shown any regard, any respect for the military at all. They don't care about, well, your own experience demonstrates that. In Vietnam, with the Agent Orange. And there are thousands of people with Agent Orange who came back and got sick, as you did. And it's pretty positive that that's what made you sick. But to have you wait for 6 months to come
over
in? Yes. That is terrible. And that is how the U.S. government treats the military. That is how they treated the people on the USS Liberty on June 8th, 1967. They didn't want to embarrass their friends. So they didn't care if every single person on that ship went to the bottom. And in fact, that is what LBJ said he wanted done. So that is what the U.S. military, that is what the U.S. government thinks about the U.S. military. They pretend that it's a great honor to go and serve, but I think a lot of people, a lot of military people, they get into it because they feel patriotic and they buy into the things that they've learned in the government schools and what they see on TV. Oh, we have a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. This is Dee is Arthur Jones, and his website is artjonesforcongressman.com. And I was on a little rant about why this country is so militarized. The sports are militarized. Music is militarized. Even our patriotic music is certainly militarized. And we've also got to look at the churches, which have also been taken over, by this idea that Israel is the chosen land. It is that the Jews are the chosen people, and that we must do everything that we possibly can. And all of these churches, I can't think of one in this country, that does not endorse, this warlike behavior of the U.S. government. And I'm wondering, what the heck are they thinking? Have they not read the scriptures? It just boggles my mind. I recently left a cult type church that loved every war that America's ever had, embraced every war, promoted it. In fact, they even promoted the Iraq invasion. I'm thinking, what are they doing? And that's when I woke up that maybe things aren't quite true in this church. But anyway, that's another issue for another time. But Art, I just applaud your courage, my gosh. Especially in the circumstances that you find yourself in. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm just,
can you hear me?
Yes, I'm just.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Your courage is amazing.
I just want to touch briefly, just a little bit on you mentioned the USS Liberty. Okay.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know some of the details of that. All right.
Well,
not only was the ship
attacked,
the reason why the ship was attacked is because they discovered that Israel had initiated the 6-day war. And they committed a war crime. And a war crime was the mass execution of 5,000 Egyptian POWs. And when the Israeli government knew that an American ship there that had the proof of that war crime, that's when they attacked the ship. And they attacked it first with jets and napalm and strafed it and machine gunned it. And then when they tried to abandon ship, a torpedo boat came along, put a torpedo in the side, killing 25 more Americans, okay? 9 were killed in a jet attack. 25 more were killed in a torpedo attack. And then they managed to get off a distress call to the USS America. They scrambled jets. They drove the Israelis off, okay? But then the jets were ordered back on deck so that Israel could continue the attack. Imagine that. Our own government says, get those planes back on deck and give me a status report, said Robert McNamara, the Secretary of Defense, okay?
Yes.
And President Johnson said he didn't care if that ship was sunk. He said he's not going to embarrass an ally, some ally,
yes.
Okay? Yeah. And that attack continued for over 2 hours in broad daylight in international waters, all right? But Israel said, oh, we made a mistake. It was an accident. Well, it wasn't an accident. It was the deliberate murder of Americans. And to this day, nothing has been done to bring justice to the survivors of the Liberty. I met some of their crew members there at a meeting in Washington, D.C. And some of these guys are in pretty bad health, okay? And it's just a crying shame that they never, got the exposure of the atrocity that was committed against them by the Israeli government. And it's just an outrage, all right? So.
Yes.
That's the thing about this. And they say, oh, you're an anti-Semite. You don't support our ally Israel. No, I'm not going to support a nation that deliberately sets out to murder Americans. And there's evidence, overwhelming evidence, that the Israelis were behind the attack at the World Trade Center towers as well. It was definitely a Mossad/CIA operation. Okay? Just to get us to go back into Iraq and finish the job that first invasion didn't conclude, and that was to get Saddam Hussein and his foreign minister, who was a Christian, by the way, and capture him and hang him. which they did. All right.
Well, Ben, they did the same kinds of things in Libya. But as far as the 9/11, oh, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Art Jones. His website is artjonesforcongressman.com. And we were talking about 9/11 before we went to the break. And at following that event, Netanyahu said that that was good for Israel. And, of course, we know that he recently gave some sort of a PowerPoint presentation accusing Iran of having all of this, accusing Iran of attempting to start a war, which, so I guess Netanyahu kind of runs Congress over here. So your thoughts on that?
Well, most of the information that he gave, according to sources that I've read, was like 15 years old.
Right.
We've got like 17 different intelligence agencies, and they've all stated on two occasions that Iran does not even have a nuclear weapons program anymore. 17 of our U.S. intelligence agencies ignored that and believed the fairy tale that he received from Netanyahu.
Wow.
So, I mean, the Israeli government is just hot to trot to go to war against Iran because Iran is the last major Muslim power in the Middle East, okay? And it stands against their expansionist ideas of a greater Israel, all right? Most people don't know, for example, what those two blue stripes mean on the Israeli flag. They symbolize the greater Israel that they want to create. All the land between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers, Israel claims is theirs. Okay? Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that aren't Israelis that live on those land between those two rivers. Okay? You've got Lebanese, Jordanians, Egyptians, you know, Iraqis. Doesn't matter. Israel's claiming that land for themselves, in addition to Jerusalem as their capital. I mean, talk about being an expansionist power. Talk about committing genocide and ethnic cleansing. Israel is the top dog in that department, believe me.
Well, I think they
are absolutely ruthless. What they did when they slaughtered all those Palestinians and wounded like 2,700, I heard now that the count had actually gone up to about 6,700 that were wounded. That is absolutely criminal.
Well, if you hear...
I didn't say a word about that. Not a word.
If you see a
man stuck up to the Jews, I mean, I'm absolutely embarrassed that I cast a vote for that guy. He's just been a total suck up to anything the Jews want. And what they want is a war against Iran, and all these gutless Republicans in the Congress here in Illinois are going right along with it. Anything to get that Jew money, you know, to get their sorry butts reelected. Well, I'm functioning here on a very slim budget. I got 20,696 votes on less than $1,000. My opponent, Dan Lipinski, spent $2.5 million to defeat his opponent who spent almost $2 million. And he only won by 1,599 votes. So if I could get 20,000 votes with less than $1,000, you can imagine what I could do if I had a decent campaign budget to work with. So, and I want people to know I'm not just a Johnny One Note, okay? I have what I think is a very winning platform here, and I'd just like to kind of just go over it, all right? Just read it, and then you can ask me questions about it if you would, okay?
Sure, sure.
All right. First of all, I said a special message to you from Arthur Jones, your conservative Republican candidate for congressman. It's time to put America first, American workers first. American seniors first, American families first, American veterans first. Where I stand, the very first thing I say is build the wall. Okay? That's the one good idea Trump had, all right? Build the wall. According to the Immigration Department, we are being invaded literally invaded by the third world from 72 foreign nations crossing our borders. Okay? So we have to put a stop to that. Bring our troops home now to defend our borders, America first. No more wars for Israel. No more sanctuary cities. No amnesty for illegal criminal aliens or their vicious gangs like MS-13. Enforce the RICO Act against them. No taxes. Now, this is benefit for young people. No taxes on minimum wage workers or their tips. No taxes on any workers' overtime wages. The more you work, the more you'll keep for yourself or your family. Repeal Obamacare. Establish a tax-supported medical catastrophic fund, and I'll explain what that is later on, okay? Pro-life, yes. Homosexual marriage and adoption of children by homosexuals, no. I think that's an absolute abomination to allow homosexuals to adopt children, okay? Term limits for all federal judges, U.S. congressmen, and U.S. senators, okay? The idea that judges sit there for life is absolutely absurd in view of the decision that they've made. Federal judges gave us, starting in 1954, racial desegregation of the public schools, which has pretty much destroyed the public schools in this country. They gave us open housing legislation, which allowed blacks to move into white neighborhoods, okay? And what happened is white flight took place, destroyed white neighborhood after white neighborhood, okay? Then they allowed for abortion on demand in Roe versus Wade. Now they're allowing same-sex marriage all across the country. And they want to confiscate our guns. Okay, so these federal judges, they've got to have a term limit imposed upon them. I don't think any federal judge should serve more than 8 consecutive years. That's it. 2 terms for a president, 8 years for a judge. That's it. And then they got to go and find some honest work someplace. Okay, repeal all multinational treasonous trade treaties costing millions of Americans their jobs. Negotiate new bilateral trade agreements to bring back our jobs. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here, all right? For a while, I drove for Uber, and I picked up a guy that had a store on Madison Street in Chicago. And he told me that, in his store, he was selling tennis shoes for $200 a pair, blue jeans for $500 a pair. I said, well, where's all this apparel made? Vietnam. I guarantee you the Vietnamese are not getting $15 an hour to make those tennis shoes or those blue jeans. They're getting 50 cents an hour. And yet those products made over there as slave labor wages are sold over here at super extravagant prices, and the Jews pocket the difference in their profits. Okay? And American workers could have easily made those tennis shoes for $15 an hour. And the jeans for $15 an hour, but instead we got minimum wage workers here working in these sweatshops. All right, gun owners' rights, including concealed carry for personal protection. The fact of the matter is, Chicago has become a battleground, okay, between warring gangs, black gangs, Latino gangs, blacks fight against blacks, Latinos fight against Latinos, and black and Latinos fighting each other. And white people getting caught in the crossfire, all right? The Magnificent Mile on Michigan Avenue has become a hotbed of crime. If you listen to the police, they have a website called Second City Cop. You listen to that Second City Cop website, and you learn what's really going on that the news media doesn't have the guts to report. They report mobs of blacks on the streets, carousing around, jumping on people's cars, snatching their purses, attacking them on the streets, going into stores in so-called flash mobs, and running off with everything they can get their hands on, okay? And then they go to the beaches and do the same doggone thing with people on the beaches, all right? So that's why you need to have a concealed carry weapons permit in the state of Illinois, and I'm proud to say that my organization, the Second Amendment Defense Committee, had a hand in bringing about the concealed carry permit. We were the last state in Illinois to have that law passed. The last state in the country, I should say, to have that law passed. Okay? Now, passage of the Neighborhood Amendment to prevent the destruction of our schools and neighborhoods by aggressive gangs and drug dealers. Now, that goes back to the idea that you live in a safe, white, and clean, drug-free neighborhood, and if you want to keep it that way, you don't want drug dealers and gangbangers in your neighborhoods and in your schools. So I say a cutoff point of 10%. Once they reach 10%, instead of fleeing, you get together with the rest of your neighbors, and you simply vote. Do you want this thing to continue, or do you want to put a stop to it? And the neighborhood amendment would give you the legal authority to put a stop to it at 10%. No more blacks moving in, no more gangbangers moving in, no more drug pushers moving in, no more queers moving in, okay? You see, you keep your neighborhood safe, clean, and white at a ratio of 90% white, okay? And finally, rebuild our country. We have to get over this idea that every kid that goes to school, all right, public school, private school, immediately has to go to college. Why? All you're doing is putting yourself in debt. They take out these loans, and they're going to take them 30 years, for God's sakes, to pay these loans off. Some of these young people are in debt $100,000 or more, okay? I say what we should establish are vocational trade scholarships to teach young Americans useful trades in industry, construction, commerce, and agriculture. Now, that's my platform, okay? If you want to discuss any of those issues, I'll be happy to discuss any of those issues. If you don't, I'd like to elaborate on one in particular, and that's the Medical Catastrophic Fund. What do you say, Deanna?
Talk about that, and then we'll go over what some of the things that you said.
Would you like me to talk about the Medical Catastrophic Fund? A lot of people are not sure what I mean by that.
Yes, I would like you to talk just about that.
Okay, a little background. I've been an insurance agent for over 30 years, specializing in health insurance, both group health insurance and individual health insurance, working with small businesses and working with individuals and families, all right? There's nothing about health insurance that 30 years of experience, you know, I don't know about, all right? And one thing I know you don't need is 10,000 rules and regulations, you know, to enforce a 2,000-page bill called Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, okay? That's a total disaster, all right? And it's put a lot of insurance agents and a lot of insurance companies out of business, okay? At the same time, it's deprived people that, you know, have been paying into their insurance companies for their health insurance policies, and they get these skyrocketing premiums or these incredibly high deductibles, okay, where before they didn't have that problem. All that to accommodate a bunch of illegal aliens in this country, all right, and also to accommodate the homosexual agenda. I went to an insurance conference while I was still employed by an insurance company, okay, down in Texas, and they said the big push to get rid of the pre-existing medical condition clause was coming from the gay lobby. They wanted to get rid of it so that they could continue on with their degenerate lifestyle, and then when it come down with a dread sexual transmitted disease like AIDS, Or herpes or whatever, okay? They can then go to an insurance company and say, you've got to insure me. Regardless of my health, you've got to insure me. And I thought, well, my God, if we have to do that, that's going to drive premiums through the roof. And a lot of people are just going to say, I can't afford this anymore, okay? And that's exactly what happened. I had a lot of clients, and they canceled on me right and left because of Obamacare, all right? So I said, well, there's got to be a solution to it, and here's my solution. First of all, starting with the Medicare, Medicaid system, all right? According to the federal government, the Medicare, Medicaid Center, over $100 billion a year is lost due to fraud committed by medical practitioners and or their patients. So the first thing we got to do is get rid of the fraud in that system. And how do you do that? You make them take a medical competency test. As an insurance agent, every 2 years I have to take a state examination to retain my license, okay? Once you pass the medical board, you're a doctor and no one bothers you unless you really screw up and then you have a medical malpractice lawsuit on you, okay? So first of all, a lot of these doctors that are in the federal government's Medicare and Medicaid system are foreign-trained doctors. They're not up to the same standards as American doctors, all right? They're just outright quacks in many cases, okay? So first of all, they have to take a medical competency test. They pass the test, then the malpractice insurance premium that they're paying, and some of these premiums are pretty doggone expensive, all right? We're talking up to $250,000 on some of these premiums, okay? If they pass the test, then it would be the premium they paid previously, okay, would be split three ways. The state would pay some, the federal government would pay some, and the other third would be paid by the medical practitioner himself. That would allow them, the medical practitioners, to reduce their overhead expenses, to reduce the cost of an office visit, to reduce the cost of medical care, to reduce the cost of medicines that they prescribe, all right? And that would encourage the public to engage in preventive care instead of wait until something gets really, really serious because they didn't want to pay $75 or $100 every time they see a doctor. They would then go to the doctor and maybe charge them maybe $20 for a little visit, all right, and find out what's really the problem. Before it becomes so serious, they have to be hospitalized, okay? Now, that would allow people, you know, to afford insurance again because the insurance companies would have this big burden of high, you know, costs basically removed, okay? And they could reduce their premium that they're charging the public. And when, for example, you need, like, an operation, say you need to have a heart transplant or a kidney transplant, something like that, whatever, okay, what would happen if you don't have that insurance anymore? What would happen if your insurance benefits went out? Well, under my plan, everybody, every taxpayer in this country would have taken out of his income tax, say about $10, okay, and would go into the medical catastrophic fund. So when someone runs out of insurance benefits, but they need an operation, okay, for like cancer or something like that, like what I experienced, and they don't have enough coverage in their insurance to pay for it, their medical practitioner would then go to the medical catastrophic fund, say, Mr. Smith needs this operation, and it's going to cost X number of dollars, and the government would then write a check for that amount and pay off the practitioner, and the problem solved. Okay? The other part of the reform is American people must come first. I went to a hospital in Berwyn. First time I had a kidney stone attack, I went to a hospital in Berwyn. I spent over 3 hours in the emergency room
Art, we do have a quick break. I hate to interrupt, but we do need to take a break, and we'll pick this up on the other side with a hospital visit. Be right back. All right, we are back. Our guest today is Art Jones. His website is artjonesforcongressman.com, and you were telling us about a hospital visit, and I didn't mean to interrupt your thought. Go ahead.
I don't want to mention the name because then I might be opening myself up to a lawsuit, but I went to this hospital, okay, and this is the first time I ever experienced kidney stones. I didn't know what it was. It was just a pain in my left side that was absolutely unbearable. And I went to the hospital there. I'm sitting there in the emergency room. And then finally, you know, I'm watching all these Hispanics that are coming in there, you know, and they're getting right to the doctor. To this doctor, to that doctor, the other doctor. And I'm sitting there waiting. And thought, I said, what the heck's going on? So I walked up to the admitting nurse. I said, I swear, if you don't get me in front of a doctor, I'm going to die right in front of you. Oh, very well, she says, like the big, problem here, you know.
Sure.
Now, this will require a $500 deductible. Now, how's that going to be handled? Well, I have Blue Cross Blue Shield, so I gave them my card, all right, and they took care of the deductible. I finally got in front of a doctor. And they designated I had, you know, a kidney stone that was lodged in a very sensitive area near the bladder, okay, and that was causing all the pain. Well, it kept me overnight, all right. But while I was waiting in that emergency room, okay, to see a doctor, okay, all these Mexicans were coming in there, and they were getting all this treatment, and not once did any millionaires ever ask him for a dime. Not once. Free medical care for illegal aliens. That's a law that was passed by our great Congress. Okay? And that law, in my judgment, ought to be repealed. I had a friend that had acute appendicitis, and he went to Little Company of Mary Hospital to be treated for it, okay? And they took out his appendix. It was badly infected and everything. And right next to him was a member of the Latin King, you know, street gang that had been shot. And that Latin King got top-notch medical care, and it didn't cost him a dime. But my friend had to pay $12,000 out of his own pocket for the medical care that he got, even though he had an insurance policy. Okay? Another $12,000 cash out of his pocket.
Art, let me interrupt
you. That's not
just...
right. And that's going on all over the country. All these
Art,
criminals,
Art,
all these illegal aliens, these gangbangers, these sick
Art,
people.
Let me interrupt you here. I think
yes.
that this is obviously very deliberate. The laws are set up to get the people in this country, whether they're illegals or whomever they are, to hate each other, to be resentful of each other, and this is all deliberate. Now, in my first book, which I wrote back in 2010, which was published in 2010, I talked about the fact that the so-called Civil War was really the very first Bolshevik socialist revolution in the world, because all the people that there was a socialist revolution in Europe in 1848, it failed. So they all came over here. And so what we had established after the so-called Civil War was, has been growing since then. We are living in a socialist country, and we see the ramifications of that. We will be right back. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Art Jones. His website is artjonesforcongressman.com. And we will take calls in the next hour at 800-313-9443. As I was mentioning, I'm kind of a historian, an amateur historian. I've written three books about what has happened in our country and throughout the world, about warfare, which I'm totally against. And I must say that African Americans did not bring drugs into their community to destroy the families. They were previously, in another generation, they were very family-oriented, just like any normal family. But somehow, they were attacked with drugs. Drugs, they were targeted with drugs. And look what it has done to their community. Just the same kind of thing that happened in China, the opium wars. There was two opium wars. And so you have to look at history and find out exactly what happened, what occurred. And as far as I don't really care who sleeps with who, but there are that there's food that people are eating every day that disrupt the endocrine system.
Deanna.
Yes.
Yes. As I was talking to you about these people that my friend having to put out all that money, okay?
Yes.
The Latin King James banner.
Yes, it's hard. Okay? It's terrible.
All right?
It's not fair.
Now, it's not fair, and that's part of my reform. We should repeal that law that gives
Absolutely.
All these illegal aliens from whatever country, okay, all this free medical care at taxpayers' expense. All right?
That's right. Yes.
So that's my reform on the medical care, right? The mandatory medical competency exam and the establishment of a tax-supported medical catastrophic fund and repeal that law that gives free medical care to illegal aliens. If
right.
we did that, we'd have health care, you know, a much better health care plan than we have right now. And Obamacare would be, you know, on the ash heap of history, okay? But right,
right
now it's alive and well in Illinois. And that's a disaster for the people here in Illinois, all right?
Well, keep in mind that doctors have a license from the government to kill people. Doctors have a standard of care. As long as they follow the standard of care, which is set up by four entities, the hospital, the insurance companies, Big Pharma, and the government, then they can get away with murder. They can do whatever they want. As long as they abide by the standard of care, nobody can sue them if they have done what they're supposed to do. But they do have a license to kill. And 880,000 people a year die at the hands of the medical establishment.
Well,
so you have to figure
it out. They say that every day 200 veterans commit suicide, too. I mean,
exactly. Because they're not getting the care that they fought for, that they're entitled to, because other people are in line ahead of them. Illegal aliens. So you have to look at, okay, who's forcing all this multiculturalism? Whose idea was all that? Now, if the people if Iraq had not been bombed to smithereens, if Libya had not been bombed to smithereens, people would never have left those countries. They didn't want to leave their countries, but if you have no job, no infrastructure, no home, your family's been killed, you're escaping. You're not just immigrating, you're escaping. And that is why war and pogroms are designed to get people to move from one place to another.
Well, the whole third world wants to come here.
Well, yes, of course. They've all been promised all the stuff that the government is giving away.
We can't take
of
in
course
65
not.
To 70 million refugees. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous to even consider it.
Of course not. Absolutely. And as far as the wall, is the wall to keep us in or keep other people out? You have
that's
to ask yourself that question. How about
the
wall? The wall in Israel. Now we've all seen a map. Or most of us have seen a map that of Palestine before 1948, and most of that belonged to there were 500 towns that were decimated. The influx of people came in. They took over all of the orchards and the lemon groves and the orange groves and all the prime property. They stole it. I'm getting far off field.
I created a Holocaust survivor at Naperville Central High School, and he claimed that the Jews made the deserts blossom.
Oh, baloney. They were blossoming a long time before that. And you have to go back to the Balfour Declaration. That was all set up with World War One.
Right.
Okay, and
exactly.
World War One was fought
which,
so that they could implement.
Was blackmailed by the Jews because they knew he was carrying on an affair. They said, "You know, either get us into World War One, or we're going to expose your affair."
Yes, yes, and it wasn't really an affair. It was an entanglement. It was stupid, and he fell for it, and he did it. But isn't that the way that they entrap politicians now with parties at the White House that we've all heard about?
They use the same kind of tactics.
Yes. They get something on you so that you either vote in our favor or we're going to expose you for whatever it is that you've done, whether you're a pedophile
right.
or whatever. And there's certainly a lot of that going on.
Let me ask you this, Dia. I have a question for you. Do you think there's anything to this this Pizzagate scandal that we heard of for a while and all of a sudden just kind of disappeared?
No, I really didn't fall into that. I did not fall into that. There's enough evidence. There's enough people writing books about child rape and child pornography that you don't need to dream up some sort of like Pizzagate. I've interviewed people about this. It's horrific.
I'm convinced that Pizzagate is legit, okay? And that's another thing. We had the Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert from Illinois, as you know, okay? And he turned out to be a big queer, a pedophile queer.
When he went to Washington, he was what, a gym teacher, and he came back a millionaire. What does that tell you about Washington and the politics there? And they have lobbyists that are putting money into all of these politicians' pockets. And people are so corrupt, they'll go ahead and take it. That's what I appreciate about you, is that I don't think you're corruptible. I don't think anybody could buy you.
Well, they did. They did try to buy me. I was offered money, and I'm not going to say how much or who offered it to me, but I'm telling you right now, they did try to offer me money, and I thought after 40 years, okay, I finally get to the point where I'm going to be on the ballot. I'm not going to sell that out for any amount of money. There's just too much heartache involved in the struggle I've engaged in, and I just told them basically to go screw off, okay? After that, then they were threatening my life. And,
I've got you're not corruptible.
My back, basically.
You're not corruptible.
Well, everybody has a weakness, but money is not one of mine. I'm not a rich man. I'm not, money doesn't impress me. I don't care if you're a billionaire, you know. For example, Mr. Pritzker running for governor, all right? When I went down to file my papers in a previous election, okay, we were standing there in the cold. This is December, winter, snow coming down, big long line almost a half a mile long of people standing there, and up comes this great big band with a big name, Pritzker for Congress. And the door opens up, and out comes Mr. Chubby Pritzker there, okay? And he immediately walked to the front of the line. They hadn't opened the doors yet. We're standing there freezing. And I walked up to him, and I tapped him on his shoulder. I said, "Excuse me, Chubby." I said, "But the line goes back that way." And one of his bodyguards said, "Do you know who you're talking to?" I said, "Yeah, I'm talking to an arrogant, fat Jew, and the line still goes to the rear." At that point, other people started screaming at him as well, and we made him go all the way back and stand in line like other normal goyim do. So that's just one of my interesting experiences.
Yes, that is interesting. I was thinking recently about Blagojevich. Because Trump may let him out or give him clemency. But it was very interesting that his mistake was not that he was negotiating for political offices and all that stuff. And I wrote about this. He was arrested December 9th, 2008. The day after he publicly declared that the state of Illinois would suspend all business dealings with the Bank of America, the recipient of a $25 million bailout, until it restored a credit line to Republic Windows and Doors, which, without credit, was forced to close and lay off 240 employees. The governor apparently forgot who really runs everything. His indiscretions, attributable to every other professional politician, went unnoticed until he challenged the banks. Goldman Sachs, another bailout recipient, used $6.5 billion of our taxpayer dollars to give bonuses to their financial staff. So he was arrested the very next day after he made that announcement. So
I worked for a home improvement company called Windows, Doors, and More in Bellwood, and we had a $500,000 line of credit with Republic Windows, okay? And when they went under, we went under.
See? See how it works?
We couldn't sustain. We had a lot of, windows. I sold a lot of windows, all right, vinyl replacement windows that were manufactured by Republic Windows. That was our number one window dealer, okay? And we couldn't fulfill the contracts because they were no longer in business.
Right. So it didn't hurt just those 240 employees. It hurt a lot of businesses that they did business with.
Yeah.
And so,
including the company I worked for, we had to close the doors.
Yeah, the power of money. That is what they have. They have the power of money. And they've had it for a very, very long time. And I've talked about it in my three books about the power of money. And how
by the way, that company, Republic Windows, was owned by a couple of Jews. And they wanted to move out of Illinois to Iowa where there'd be no union.
Oh. Interesting.
And that's what caused the lockdown in that factory.
Well, the people with money have always exploited the people, the working class. This was true during the so-called, before the so-called Civil War, when the entire South was exploited by the bankers in the North. They did all this growing. They were an agrarian society, and they were exploited. And that's what you were talking about this earlier with cheap clothes, cheap products from other countries. The reason that the U.S. military goes into a country is to commercialize it for the corporations in America. All these corporations want to further their business. And if you go to China, which I did in 2007, I saw
that Trans-Pacific partnership that Obama wanted to get ratified, and Trump said no, he wasn't going to do it, and he's having second thoughts about it. All right. Most of those countries, those 11 nations in that Trans-Pacific partnership, don't even pay to work as much as $2 an hour.
Exactly.
In Mexico, all right, the average wage there has worked itself up to 80 cents an hour. In Vietnam, it's 50 cents an hour. How can these pitifully poor people in those countries afford anything Americans manufacture over here? They can't.
That
would have done and may do if we ratify that 11-nation treaty, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, all it will do is take more jobs out of this country, be exported over there, because the people
over there
can't afford anything we make here. Not 50 cents an hour or 80 cents an hour.
And all the big corporations, the production has left this country. For the most part, all the production has left this country, and a country's wealth, a country's success and progress is based on what they produce. And you can't do that if you're flipping hamburgers. You have to produce something. And
right.
We've given up. The U.S. government has allowed corporations to move offshore, and so we have no production. We have no wealth. That's why we're trillions and trillions of dollars in debt.
I'd like to comment here about my tax reforms, okay?
Sure.
One of the things, I'm unable to change it on my website because the guy that designed my website, unfortunately, he died. His name was James Allen. He was a great American patriot, and he died of a huge cancerous tumor in his pelvis that they couldn't do anything about. It just spread throughout his whole system there, and he died at age 43. But He designed my website that's up there, okay? And unfortunately, he died with a password, so I can't change anything on there. But one of the things that's on there is I want to get rid of the income tax, okay, and replace it with a flat 10% sales tax. That's it. Not seven levels, not four levels, not five levels, one level, 10%, okay? If the church can get by it with 10% tithing, and they do, the Roman Catholic Church is a huge institution in the world, okay? They can get by with the little people giving them 10%, all right? Then the federal government can do just as well. The reason why we don't have that tax is that, oh, well, how is the government going to function? The government will function fine if we get rid of all the fraud and overpricing in government contracts. President Reagan, for example, he came up with a thing called the Grace Commission, all right? And they came up with over 4,000 recommendations on how to save money in the federal government. But none of that got enacted, okay? None of it got enacted. Imagine that. They said we could save a couple hundred billion dollars a year with those 4,000 recommendations. Well, I think we ought to renew that Grace Commission and take some of those recommendations, you know, and make them, you know, policy, all right? That would clean up the so-called swamp that Trump was talking about, okay? Now, getting back to the people that I am trying to reach here with my campaign, I recommend that if you're working a minimum wage job or a part-time job, okay, and you're only getting paid the minimum wage, all right, you shouldn't have to pay any taxes. Come on, the government isn't going to go broke because, you know, some guy working at McDonald's or Burger King or Kentucky Fried Chicken doesn't pay taxes, all right? So no taxes on minimum wage or part-time workers, and no taxes on their tips. They do a good job, and you want to tip them? Fine. They should be able to keep all of that money, all right? No taxes on anybody that has a full-time job, and they're willing to work overtime, okay? They should keep all that overtime for themselves. All right.
Okay.
And
all right. We need to take a real quick, 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. My guest today is Arthur Jones. His website is artjonesforcongressman.com. We will take calls in the next hour at 800-313-9443. I invite you to chat in the chat room, which is spingola.chatango.com. You were talking about, I was reading some things during the break.
Yeah, I was talking about my tax reform, okay?
Right, taxes.
You go to my website, all right, and that's, just Google, you know, Art Jones for Congress, and it'll take you right to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you go down on the thing where it says issues, all right? Scroll down there, and I'm talking about a 10% national sales tax. They say, oh, no, that's repressive. Okay? Well, the government does have to have money for its services, all right? But if we clean up all the corruption, that's a big if.
What services? What would happen if Washington, D.C.
shut down? If we get rid of the overpriced defense contractors and things like this, okay, we can easily absorb a 10% sales tax in our economy, all right? I mean, we're talking, 10 cents on each dollar? That's nothing, okay? And but people that don't have a full-time job, they would have the benefits. Not of a one-time bonus like what happened with Trump's, bonus to the working people there. okay, but it'd be a permanent arrangement. You're working part-time or working minimum wage, you would pay no taxes. Now, no one's going to stay in that situation indefinitely. You're going to want to move up and get a better-paying job where you would be paying taxes, but at the same time, you'd be improving your lifestyle, all right? And you'd be able to provide better for your family. But for young people starting out in the workforce, you know, I remember when I worked at McDonald's, I started working at $1.10 an hour, and then I worked my way up to $1.25 an hour, okay? But the government was taking taxes out of the piddly little wage that I was earning. And I really resented it. I thought, my God, you know, do you really need that money? Okay? So I identify with young people here that are trying to, you know, get along in life on a minimum wage job. Maybe some of them have got a young family and they need more than what that minimum wage job is providing. Well, this way, instead of demanding $15 an hour from your employer, which is going to land you on the unemployment line, okay, this way you would get an increase in your wages. Everything that you are paid, you would keep, okay, without going to your employer and demanding that he give you more, all right? Maybe he can't afford to give you more, okay? Maybe he's got expenses that he has to meet that you aren't aware of. But this way, you would get, and I say you, I'm talking collectively, young people here would get an opportunity to make everything, you know, everything that they earn, they would keep with no taxes, all right? And then when they're able to find a better job after they've acquired work experience, which employers look for, then, you know, they would move into a better position. And that would be, for example, the vocational trade scholarships that I recommend, okay, where you can learn a useful trade instead of spending 4 years in a Marxist college where you're submitted to brainwashing and learn to hate your own race and your culture and your religion and everything your parents tried to instill in you, okay, you would learn a useful skill that can help rebuild our country, okay? So that's the way I want people to understand my platform. It's designed to help people that are having a hard time, people that are out of work, people on food stamps, things like this, okay? They're just getting by. My reforms, I believe, will help everybody, you know, rise in this country, okay? And get rid of this idea that every kid has to go to college. And you sign for a $20,000 or $30,000 worth of student loans, and you've effectively enslaved yourself for the next 30 years paying those loans off.
Absolutely,
that is a crime against an entire generation, in my judgment. Okay, and so I'm trying to reach young people, you know, with these reforms, and the Republican Party doesn't want that. All right? They look to the illegal aliens as a source of cheap labor. Okay?
That's right.
The jobs that Americans won't perform. Well, no.
That's
Americans right. And work as slaves for peanuts, but the peons coming across the border, they're willing to take those jobs and work at whatever cheap rate the employers want to pay them.
Well, all right? Okay. Art, we do have to cut for a break. We'll be right back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Art Jones. His website is artjonesforcongressman.com. We will take calls in the next hour at 800-313-9443. We invite you to visit the chat room. That is spingola.chatango.com. And this income tax, certainly the government does not need anybody's money. The government should be able to handle, the government is oversized. If Washington DC shut down, seriously, how would that hurt us? And since the government actually, the American government complicit with well-connected corporations since the so-called Civil War, the first modern example of a total war with the slaughter of unarmed civilians, continues to wage war and destruction. Lincoln's Revolutionary War, supported by Marx and Engels, caused the deaths of at least 618,222 people and perhaps as many as 700,000 people, including about 50,000 Confederate soldiers. Civilians. Soldiers who were fighting, dying, and killing during that war were in training for future wars. If Americans could kill fellow non-combatant citizens, then they would use force against foreign citizens on behalf of the government to coerce submission and change. And that is what we have. And we can see, we can see the devastating results in our own country. You're talking about income tax, and you're talking about things that are destroying the youth. Seriously, a person, unless they have an actual skill, they're not going to be able to get a job. You need to have something that you know how to do, whether you're an electrician, a plumber, or whatever. You can make money from the skills that you learn. So vocational school is a much better idea than spending years in college and then not being able to get a job in the field that you prepared for.
Exactly. We have the most educated unemployed class in the world.
Yes.
Crying shame. I mean, my brother never went to college. I did. And he's on his second wife and his third house. And I've never owned a house in my life. All right? I've always been an apartment dweller, okay? Because of my political activities, I figured I don't want a 30-year mortgage to tie me down. I just pick up and go if I have to, all right? That's my lifestyle. But his, you know, he never went to college, but he went to work for the Wisconsin Power and Light Company as a lineman and worked his way up to being a foreman, and then after that he retired. So he's made the shade, you know. He had a piece of land. He sold it for $1 million, 88 acres of prime Wisconsin farmland, and he's set for life. And I'm still struggling here just to make a dent in the political process here in the state of Illinois. So it's a big myth that you can't make it without going to college, okay? I mean, all colleges, as far as I'm concerned, is a factory for Marxist claptrap. That's all it is. You don't really learn any really valuable skills unless you're a doctor or a lawyer. And I think we have plenty of lawyers, but we're short on doctors. Right.
And a lot of them serve in Congress, even though the original 13th Amendment said that no lawyer could serve in Congress, no person of title. And yet a lot of those people are lawyers.
Well, I know you're not a big fan of Abraham Lincoln, but he never went to college either. He turned out to be quite a crackerjack lawyer. But
they didn't have the colleges that we have now, and he interned, and I don't have any respect for him at all. Sorry.
I'd like to take, if it's possible, I'd like to take some calls, if I could.
Sure. We usually do that in the third hour, but we can open the phone lines now. And that number that you may call in is 800-313-9443. So, we'll take some calls. Let me give some figures, for warfare. And as I mentioned, the so-called Civil War was the first total warfare. In other words, before war was fought out in a field, you had two opposing military groups fighting against each other. But in the so-called Civil War, it was all different. Everything was open. The citizens were raped, killed, slaughtered. All the production was slaughtered, or all the production was destroyed. Barns were burnt down. They killed cats, dogs. They killed everything in their path. And of course, we've all heard about Sherman's March to the Sea. And this happened during that so-called Civil War. And the total war, as I said, the Civil War was first so-called total war. And since that time, when you look at the numbers, and the numbers, we're talking about the Spanish-American War, two world wars, Korea, Vietnam, first Gulf War, the current wars in the Middle East, and those wars don't include the bombings in the Baltic and elsewhere, or the CIA's covert warfare, wherein millions of people died. In the First World War, soldiers killed 9,911,000 people in action, excuse me, and wounded 21,219,500 people, while 7,750,000 people were missing, in action for a total of 38,880,500. In the Second World War, there were over 24 million military deaths and 49 million civilian deaths, totaling 73 million deaths, not including the number of wounded or missing. That is 82,911 deaths in two world wars, not including the 28,965,000 people who were missing from World War I. Now, that's a lot of people that were killed. And that started with Lincoln's war.
Yeah.
Okay, he set the pattern.
Yeah.
All those statistics will pale if we have an atomic war. And that's
right.
What I'm trying to avoid.
Right. Absolutely. You're right.
You mentioned Civil War. I'm not sure if a lot of your listeners are aware of this, but during the Civil War, you had a situation where in the South, you had the Secretary of the Treasury, his name was Judah P. Benjamin, who is a Jew. And in
yes.
the North, you had an agent of the Rothschilds also, and his name was August Belmont.
Right.
Now, isn't that interesting? And during World War I, you also had the situation, and I brought this up with a college professor when I was at UW-Whitewater, and got thrown out of the class for my efforts there. But the Rothschilds were on both sides of World War I.
Of course.
They were on the side of the Germans, they were on the side of the English and the French, and the other Jews worked to bring America into the war, okay, so the Balfour Declaration could be fulfilled.
Right.
For the benefit of the Jews.
Now, Belmont's name was August Schoenberg.
I brought that up in a history course I was taking there at UW-Whitewater, and the professor just got absolutely apocalyptic, okay? And he told me, that's a lot of anti-Semitic nonsense. He said, please leave my class, Mr. Jones. And he flunked me. I had to take a course on sociology to make up for the history course that I got an F in. Imagine that?
Well, that is because the educational system was taken over by the Carnegie Foundation and the tax-exempt Rockefeller Foundation, and they resolved to regulate domestic education, and that's what they did. And they also institutionalized history, and they formed the nucleus of the American Historical Association, which was founded by Andrew D. White, a member of the Order of Skull and Bones, also known as the Brotherhood of Death. So you have these people who are telling us what history is. But accurate history is not taught in schools. And obviously you found that out the hard way. Okay.
Yeah.
We do have some callers. Let's take Paul in Illinois. Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great show, Deanna. Excellent points, and you know, these traitors in Congress that just suck up the APEC, it's sickening. The platform that you're talking about is America First. Hey, I wanted to touch on a couple of things real quick. Here in Illinois, now that Schedule M where the Jews get an exemption for the Hala hoax. Is that something in every state, do you know, or is it just here in Illinois?
Art, are you there?
I didn't quite hear the whole question. It was kind of muffled.
Yes, I was asking about the Schedule M on the Illinois tax return for the Holocaust survivors. Do you know if that is in every state where they get that exemption?
I don't know if it's in every state. I do know it's in Illinois, though.
Okay. And
I think it's an outbreak.
It's true also. Yes.
If you survived a communist concentration camp, a so-called gulag that Solzhenitsyn wrote about, you don't get any tax benefits. You can't take anything off your taxes for that. But if you're a so-called Holocaust survivor, you can deduct whatever you're paid in the form of reparations from whatever government that, you know, they're willing to pay you. I mean, it's just outrageous. It's what I said. It's an international extortion racket to bleed, blackmail, extort, and terrorize the enemies of the Jews into silence or subservience, and to direct our Congress and President into a war against Iran. That's what the Holocaust is being used for now, to beat them over the head and say, oh, you got to defend Israel at all costs. If you don't, there'll be a Holocaust. Nonsense.
Yes, and the other thing about the curriculum, how is, you know, it's state law that they have to teach this Holocaust. And how is that part of history? I mean, I just don't understand how they're taking that time from children where they can actually teach them how to balance a checkbook and teach them this nonsense.
The Holocaust is, in my opinion, okay, is nothing more than political pornography. That's exactly what it is. And it's a mandated law that every high school student has to take a course in the Holocaust. And now, on top of all of that, to give you an idea of the quality of the education that children of Illinois are going to get, there's another law pending in the legislature that will require, before you get your high school diploma, you have to expose yourself to all the joys of the LGBTQ lifestyle. Absolutely incredible. I mean, this is American Illinois education. It's top-heavy with mythical black history, all kinds of perverted sex education, and the Holocaust. That's it. And not a bit of that is going to help you at all in real life when you graduate and you need to find a job. They say, well, what's your qualification? Well, I studied the Holocaust in high school. It's a total farce. Education. All these candidates running for governor, for God's sake, they all want to blow more money on education. When we've got some of the sorriest records, you know, of achievement here among our high school students, all right? Something like less than 30% even graduate from the high schools in Chicago. And that's almost statewide as well.
And at the same
very,
time...
Very, very poor graduation rates, and yet they want to pour more and more money into education. No, clean out the curriculum that is rotten with Marxist claptrap, all right? And then watch the scores rise, okay? And then talk about building better schools. But until you clean up that rotten, filthy, sex-obsessed, Holocaust-obsessed, pornographic curriculum that passes for education in Illinois, I don't think one doggone dime could be spent anymore on education. Really.
At the same time, Art,
I could have run for a state office instead of running for Congress here, because all the damage is being done in this state by the decadent Democratic Party and the repugnant Republican Party is absolutely incredible. We have got the lowest credit rating of any state in the entire country. People are leaving the state right and left for better ground, where they get better business opportunities and better education for their kids. And we're like $170 billion in the hole on our pension systems here in this state, okay? It's criminal. And anybody thinking to vote for a Democrat, my God, you ought to have your head examined, because they've been running this state for 100 years, and now they just about run us right into the ground. Illinois is becoming nothing but an economic black hole right in the middle of the country.
Okay, Paul, what was your other question?
Yeah, the other statement I wanted to make about Pritzker, here is, this guy's a billionaire. I don't know if he ever worked an honest day in his life, but it's been documented by the Chicago Tribune that this guy's got the chutzpah to take out his toilets on his Astoria Street mansion. His taxes were to be $118,000 a year, and he paid $18,000 by taking out his toilets, but he's going to talk about adding curriculum and free kindergarten and to kids age four and over. And this guy is not paying his fair share in taxes. In fact, Ian is correct that these people are criminal and crooks that run for office and are in office. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Keep up the great show.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, let's take Andrea in Oklahoma. Andrea?
Yes, Clint Richardson, did Corporation Nation and the Corporation, the Pension Hoax. And, I think that should be taught to everybody, that's on this station. Hold me over.
I agree. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes. We have Andrea in Oklahoma, and she had a comment about Clint's wonderful production, The Corporation Nation. So please continue, Andrea.
Yes. Mr. Art Jones, I would say this is your homework assignment. You need to sit down with YouTube and look at The Corporation Nation and the Great Pension Hoax, the great Pension Fund Hoax. And what it shows in there is that our government has taken our tax money, along with the state and about everybody else, has taken our taxpayer money and invested it heavily into the stock market. They own everything from around the world. Not just in America, not Apple, not Exxon, not Shell, not the Dow Jones, all of it. They own all of it, including China and Europe. You name any company, and they own hundreds and hundreds of stocks. And when you own hundreds of stocks, you can put whoever you want in that stockholder's board, and they make the rules. If they want Hershey's chocolate to move from Pennsylvania to wherever they moved, that is because of the stockholders wanted to do it.
I want to talk about my question.
They have
here.
So much money. Listen to me. They have so much money. Right, they can pay off the debt three times, and that was back in 2008. They can pay off the debt three times. There's so much money in there.
Okay.
They
well,
are making a killing.
Get it in there, okay? Are you listening to the program?
I am, but I'm trying to let you know that even Illinois, they have a huge stock.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oklahoma, which they all of a sudden lost $1,600,000. And that money went, I'm sure, into buying more stocks and making this state richer, but they claim we're poorer. They're not going to tell us where that money's going. And in these two documentaries that Clint Richards put out, it shows, he breaks it down, each state, how they're profiting. Now, he doesn't tell you where the money's gone and whose pocket it's filling, but it is the most biggest scam, and everybody from around the world needs to know about this information. It is a long documentary, but it is worthwhile seeing, and it is thoroughly thorough. He breaks it down so clean. I don't know how you can fix it, but there is my comment.
Okay, your response, Art.
Yeah. Are you aware that our illustrious Speaker of the House, who's going to retire in January, but he's putting himself right now through this primary race against Paul Nehlen, a okay, that one of his brilliant ideas, all right, was to privatize Social Security so that the Wall Street vultures could get a hold of those funds. And that would be a total disaster, okay? So the seniors better watch what's going on, right? Because these
for sure.
Wall Street parasites are out there. They're trying to get every penny they can from us.
Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back with more phone calls, more questions, more comments. Be right back.
Public Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Art Jones. His website is artjonesforcongressman.com. We are taking phone calls at 800-313-9443. Please visit our chat room at spingola.chatango.com. And did you want to respond to what Andrea said? And I do recommend that film. It's fabulous. Every city, every town, every school district, they're all corporations.
Yes, like I said, what they have set their sights on now are the Social Security funds of
America.
All right, and
yes,
you don't
absolutely.
Want to put your Social Security funds, money that you have worked for all your life, in the hand of a bunch of Wall Street vultures.
Of course
okay?
not.
But that was
not.
Paul Ryan's brainstorming. Thank goodness he's retiring before that could be enacted.
Right. Okay.
I get to Congress, but make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay, let's take Elizabeth in Chicago. She's been hanging on for almost 20 minutes here. Elizabeth?
Yes, Deanna, I would like to thank you for all the excellent points. There are so many I don't know where to start with this program, you know, from today. I would say one thing to be careful of, though, is, and one of the most valuable contributions of this program is the idea of the catastrophic fund. For people who have insurance, and sometimes the insurance policies are very generous, and they still run out of money, it's a terrible situation to be in, and especially for cancer patients and other expensive diseases. People have suffered greatly from it, and now with organ transplants, much more is being done. I would say much work has been done, I'm sure, with kidneys and other things, where the person can live once it's removed. I would say one thing to be careful of, though, if the organ is vital and there's only one of it, you know, I would advise the people to please not let that happen, because the person has to be alive to have the organ taken out of their body. So if they take the heart out, that's first-degree murder. But, I mean, tremendous things can be done with transplants. Just be extremely careful. And it's pretty obvious if a person has two kidneys, two eyes, even liver, there's only one liver, but there's even progress being made that way, a part of a liver being able to be transplanted and put into another person's body, and it grows, and both people live. So, I mean, a little care, you know, would be in order here, but these ideas, including this one, is great. I don't know which is, it's one great idea after another. So I just wanted to make that point. And especially, of course, the importance of avoiding war, if at all possible. And also the treachery of what's happening to the people in Palestine. It's so important to get these things out. And I thank you for exposing them. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Art, your comments?
Well, made some good points there. I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm not going to presume to contradict her statements about, the surgical procedures, okay? I sold insurance. I didn't practice medicine, all right?
Sure.
But it sounds like, the lady knows what she was talking about, so I'm not going to contradict her, and I thank her for the call.
Right. And people, I've warned you in the past, as has Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones, you do not want to be an organ donor. You do not want to sign up at the DMV to be an organ donor. You are signing up to be harvested. If you have an accident, if you're a donor, you're going to be harvested, whether you meant to be or not. If any other medical procedure, you are told about the consequences. You're told all the you're told everything about it. And at the DMV, they just ask you a question. Do you want to be an organ donor? You're signing up for a medical procedure, and you have no idea what you're signing up for. So anyway. Okay. We will take calls at 800-313-9443. So if you have a question or a comment, then feel free to call in. I thought we had some more callers on the line. Apparently not. So you've presented a lot of really good ideas. In the first hour, you talked about segregation. You talked about a lot of things that I feel were done deliberately to destroy the country. And you talked about, of course, the Affordable Health Care Act, which is terrible. Now, I remember as a child, when you went to the doctor, it's like, I don't know, $5, $10. And there wasn't any insurance. You just paid it, and it was a reasonable fee. But following World War II, there were a lot of corporations, again, corporations who decided that they would make health care insurance available for their employees. And so it really encouraged the development of healthcare insurance. And remember that any time that you're talking about insurance, whether you're talking about car insurance, whether you're talking about fire insurance, you're selling something based on fear. And I don't mean to imply, Art, that you were wrong in being an insurance agent, because a lot of people are insurance agents. It's part of the culture now. But it is something that's based on fear. I have car insurance. I have not had an accident. I had an accident in 1965, and it wasn't my fault. We do have another caller. Let's take Diane in California. Diane? Diane?
Well, let me respond to you, okay?
Okay, sure, go ahead.
All right. When I got into the insurance business, okay, it was after I had suffered a injury at work, okay?
Oh.
I suffered a back injury, and more importantly, I was working in a foundry as a chipper and grinder, and a lot of the slag would fly up, and I'd get pieces of hot steel shaving that would land in my eyeballs. Right.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to be taken down to the hospital down the block from where I worked there in Milwaukee, and they laid me on a gurney, and then they would put some drops in my eyes, and then the doctor would take some sort of a suction device and suck that piece of steel out of my eyeball, right?
Oh.
And I was the only one doing that kind of work on the second shift, okay? That's the 4 to 12 shift, right? And so finally, they sent me to an eye specialist. I began to get headaches and everything all the time. And they said, then you better find another line of work. I said, why is that? He says, because you're in danger of detaching your retina.
Oh, my gosh.
When I heard that, I said, I'm done. Okay. So I looked for another job, and I ended up, after falling on my face as a vacuum cleaner salesman, okay, I ended up, as an insurance salesman. Okay. And I found you can make that down, okay, because I wanted to be of service to people. So I went with a company that all they sold was health insurance, and that was Mutual of Omaha. And I was their agent of the year in 1985, and seven times their agent of the month, okay? So, you know, I didn't go into the insurance business to make money. I went into the insurance business to help people.
Exactly.
And I'm very proud of that fact. And I have a thrilling
living record
with the State Department of Insurance, 30 years, with not one single complaint against me, not one time was I ever fined, not one time was my license ever taken or suspended, okay?
Right.
You don't get into a profession like insurance unless you want to be of service to people. Okay?
It's a legitimate thing, but what I'm saying is that the whole medical
and put me out of business.
But the whole medical industry changed to the point that people needed catastrophic insurance because of the expenses of being ill, and it didn't used to be that way. So, okay, we dropped Diane. Let's take Fred in Arkansas. Fred?
Thank you. Thank you. The comment I would like to make is Mr. Jones is talking about unemployment, and he hasn't yet thought about the H-1B visa. Now, let me tell you why he wants to be against the H-1B visa. There are two senators, Chuck Grassley and Jeff Sessions, who have been arguing against the H-1B visa all their lives. So if your guest would team up with Grassley and Sessions, it would raise his profile, and he'd also be doing a lot of goodness for people who have college diplomas, because actually about 17 million people with college degrees are unemployable because their jobs have been given over to others from the third world countries. And in fact, if you let me give you an example, Disney recently just fired all of their American-trained IT professionals, and they made the Americans train foreigners. And then Disney, after they accomplished that, they put out a movie where all the characters were black. So, in other words, they're not only screwing us, they're laughing at us. So that's my suggestion to Mr. Jones. He needs to be on a handshake basis with Jeff Sessions and with Chuck Grassley, and that'll help him raise his profile. He'll look like he's more of a team, like he's got guys on the same team with him, and he might get more publicity that way. So I'm just going to basically hang up and listen to your response.
Okay, well, as far as Jeff Sessions goes, I don't think he's doing the job that President Trump expected him to do. Okay, the H-1B visas, I think that's what you're talking about. All right, you're right. All these foreigners come in there and they get hired by American companies, and American with their degrees standing there end up living in their parents' basement or something, okay? 17 million, that's a heck of a lot of unemployed young people. And we shouldn't tolerate that. We should take all these daggum foreigners that have come in here and basically boot them out, all right? I mean, I get called all the time, all right, on the phone from some guy with an Indian accent saying that I'm qualified, for a home security system, or I'm qualifying for a discount on my electric power, or something like that, okay? I mean, that gives an idea of what's happening. Even jobs as menial as a telemarketer. I've done that too, so I'm not putting down telemarketers, all right? Even those jobs are being taken by foreigners, all right? What the world is wrong with the American business community? They want to hire all these strange people coming from all over the whole world and put Americans of all colors, of all races, that are American citizens on the unemployment line. I think it's an outrage, okay? And especially a double outrage when you have a college education in those specialties and you see some foreigner from India, taking a job over, all right? That just really burns me up. And if I was one of those highly technical trained, experts in computers or what have you, okay, I'd be doggone mad about it, and I'd look for somebody to stand up for me in Congress and put an end to this nonsense. And if I'm elected, I will definitely fight for those young people that are standing there on the unemployment line, 17 million strong.
I agree with you totally, Art. Absolutely. We've all been exposed to the telemarketers or the tech support people that you can barely understand what they're saying. It's really awful. Terrible. And the Congress critters are not protecting the citizens that they swore that they would protect. And that's why you're different. As I said, you're controversial because you tell the truth and you're not corruptible. You can't be bought. Alrighty, let's take Werner in. Werner. Werner? Did we lose him? Werner in New Brunswick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good evening.
Yes, Werner. Welcome.
Yeah, I tried to, the last few weeks I tried to call in a few times, but my internet started screwing up.
Oh.
I don't know.
What happened?
Coincidences.
Sure.
But what we are seeing here is divide and conquer strategy.
Yes,
and,
yes.
When in a lot of those IT jobs and jobs like in the medical profession and so, they are being now replaced, the local people, they are being replaced by people, so-called professionals from third world countries. And what easier way to follow up the agenda? They're being given authority, and as I say, they are loyal subjects. And what I've seen in my own personal experience, medical professionals and psychiatrists, it is very preferable to drive a BMW here in North America than to being sent back to Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Liberia, and those hellholes.
Yes, well, it's all deliberate, I think.
Yeah. And a while earlier, you mentioned there about the depleted uranium. What I understand, this kind of warfare, I think depleted uranium, they use it in Yugoslavia, you know. They use it in the Middle East. Wherever they made war, they used it. And wouldn't that fall under war crimes, under the Genfer Convention?
Yes.
Depleted uranium, chemical warfare, biological warfare, and the new kid on the block is electronic warfare.
Interesting question.
Directed energy.
Okay,
people don't even know the potential and how many crimes are already being committed and how much havoc has been already created by electronic warfare. Where is the outcry of the general public and the United Nations and the Genfer Convention to have those that initiate this kind of warfare, to have them convicted, dragged in front of an international court and convicted of war crimes?
Art, what do you think? You've suffered from Agent Orange. You're a victim of a war crime here.
Well, I mentioned something else, the war crime that we're committing in the Middle East, and that's using depleted uranium on these people, okay?
Right, which is what Werner mentioned, yes.
And they haven't, you know, I've been exposed to Agent Orange. It has been determined that that's what was causing the cancerous tumor. I had my kidney there. They caused them to take out my kidney, right? So I haven't made my case with the VA.
Well, nobody, very few people have. They ignore the damage that they've done. If they ignore you, then they don't have to pay you. They don't have to admit that they perpetrated something terrible against our own veterans, against our own military people.
Right, but they're coming best of established Holocaust survivors claim. That really
well, that's totally sure. And we need to bring up the idea that, that these people are Khazars, which is a totally different issue. They have no genetic connection to Palestine. The people who call themselves Jews are Khazars, have no connection to Palestine or to the Middle East.
Yeah, I know about the Khazars. Yes, absolutely.
Basically, it is a gene pool that has been contaminated.
Palestinians, and they've been, the Palestinians have been brutalized for the past 70 years.
Right.
Okay, they've been in open camps, for God's sake, in tents, and they don't have proper food, medical supplies, anything.
Water? Nothing. Nothing.
And they're subject to arrest and held without trial.
Exactly.
And,
for throwing a rock.
And our government subsidizes the treatment of these people.
We have a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. All right, welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest today is Art Jones. His website is artjonesforcongressman.com. The telephone number is 800-313-9443. The chat room is spingola.chatango.com. And, Berger, we've got some more callers. If you're still there, I'm going to cut you loose. Thank you.
May I say something, one other item?
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
And that is, privatizing, for example, the healthcare system. The hospitals, at one time they were owned by the people.
That's right. They were communities.
What we are dealing with more and more, where the civil servants, the political representatives, where they are selling off the people's assets. They're getting a paycheck. So they're paid servants. And when the servants sell off the owner's assets, it's called normally embezzlement.
You're right. Well, thank you for reminding us about that, Werner. That's a very good point.
Thank you, Diana. And thank you for your guest.
All righty. Thank you for calling. All right, let's take Sovereign Man. Okay, let's take Dave in Florida. Dave.
Yes, how are you, Deanna?
Good, how are you? We haven't talked
in
2 days?
Yes, yeah, a day or two. Well, I just want to, thanks for having Art on. He's a great American, he's a great man. And,
yes.
He's like a blast from the past, The things he's saying, it's great to hear. And of course, the media masters and the education masters have scared most people when they hear somebody talking like this to make sure that they shut them up quickly, call them all these names. But I think I don't know if it was mentioned. I've been listening to the show, the whole show, but I might have missed it. I don't know if Art brought up the fact that in order for him to get anywhere in this election, he does need money, and that's a sad truth. And
money.
I don't know. Like I said, I might have missed it, but I know there's a way to donate to the man. I know we just did just a couple of days ago, so I'm hoping that he lets people know how to do that.
Art, tell us how to do that.
Well, I had a PayPal account, for 3 days, all right, on my website. And in 3 days, it raised me $692. On the fourth day, PayPal shut my account down.
Oh, my gosh.
The only way you can donate to my campaign is through the old-fashioned method of mail, all right? I've got a post office box address up there. I've had it for years. It's P.O. Box 598, Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, Illinois, 60534. Okay? So, if I get a chance later on, I'll give the address again, but that's how you can donate to my campaign. And folks, believe me, alright? I'm going up against a congressman, his name is Dan Lipinski, alright? And this guy has been in office now for 7 terms. That's 14 years. Prior to that, his father, Bill Lipinski, had been in office for 11 terms. That's 22 years. That's too much Lipinski as far as I'm concerned, okay?
Yes.
It's time for a change. And I'm the one that's offering the change, okay? I'm as different as night and day from Lipinski. He has signed on with AIPAC, okay? They were bragging on their website how they got a new congressman to do their bidding. He's sponsoring a law with Peter Rostam, a Republican, okay, that would make it a crime to participate in this boycott against Israel, all right? And if you're a businessman and you're caught participating in that boycott against Israel, you could get 5 years in prison. That's how extreme Mr. Lipinski is on his loyalty to Israel rather than to his constituents, okay? He is also in favor of the so-called Dreamers, and he's also in favor of amnesty for the illegal aliens, sanctuary cities, okay? I'm not sure what his role is as far as gun control. I haven't been able to find that yet, but I believe he's probably got a pretty low rating from the National Rifle Association as well. The only thing that's keeping him in office are a lot of misguided senior citizens. He really plays up to the senior citizens. Well, I'm a senior citizen. I'm 70 years old, okay? I may not look it, I may not sound like it, but I'm 70 years old, folks. And, you know, I've got as much energy, more energy than Mr. Lipinski has. And that's why I went out there door-to-door getting those signatures, all right? Nobody got them for me. I got them myself, okay? And if you elect me, all right, I guarantee you, you will get service. I had 30 years in the insurance profession. I had black clients. I had Latino clients. I had Jewish clients in Skokie. I had Asian clients. Nobody ever said a single thing against me. Nobody ever wrote to the State Department of Insurance because of some shoddy deal or something they got for me. Okay? They all got the same professional service. Every single one I treated equally. Okay? And that's the kind of congressman I would be. When I was getting my signatures, I ran into a woman in Chicago Ridge. Her husband had been very heroic in Vietnam. He'd been on one of those river boats, okay, that patrol up and down, the rivers of Vietnam. And he'd been involved in a severe firefight with the Viet Cong, and his actions, earned him a nomination for the Congressional Medal of Honor. Okay? Well, the paperwork was sent to Lipinski, and he sat on it for 2 years and didn't do a thing about it, and then the witnesses that were required for this Medal of Honor to be awarded, they had meantime died. So when his wife approached Lipinski, he says, well, there's nothing I can do. You got no witnesses. He said, well, what about these letters from these guys? No, no, we can't use that. So instead of getting the Medal of Honor, this American hero was given the Distinguished Service Cross, and arrived by Federal Express. So that's the kind of shoddy service Lipinski has given the constituents of the 3rd Congressional District. The only ones he really puts out for are people of Polish descent. Everybody else, they wait in vain to get service. Okay? Well, that's not the way I would operate. You have a problem, you come to me, I'll see it gets taken care of. Okay? But to get in there, I need your financial support. And I also need volunteers to help me cover this district, okay? They've expanded the district. It now goes all the way down to Orland Park, all the way east to Mount Greenwood, all the way west out to Romeoville, okay?
That's a big district.
Area to cover, and I need volunteers to help me cover that district. But more than that, I need finances to keep this damn thing going. Lipinski spent $2.5 million to win his re-election over his opponent, Marie Newman, the real radical sentiment.
Art, I'm sorry, we do have a commercial break. We'll be right back. All righty, we are back. And we have some more phone calls here. Our guest, of course, is Art Jones. And his website is artjonesforcongressman.com. His P.O. Box number is 598 Lyons, Illinois, 60534. Send him a big check, because he deserves it. All righty, we do have a Sovereign Man on the phone. Sovereign? No, we just talked to Dave. Sovereign Man, yeah.
Ah, there it is.
Okay, Sovereign Man. Okay.
Ahoy, ahoy. Can I come aboard the citizenship?
Sure.
Well, hallelujah. Yeah, I'm sorry, Art is 70, and the sad part is he's going to have to go back and relearn the true history of America. See, I've never been to Afghanistan, so I've never, you know, created any war over there or generated any debt with the banksters, okay? And I don't have a king, i.e. a president, because I don't vote for, you know, a new slave master every 4 years, okay?
There's a lot of people who don't vote. A lot of people don't vote.
Well, Deanna, whenever you have voted in the past, has it made a difference?
No.
Ever. Ever.
No.
Okay.
Besides, they put the votes in somebody else's column anyway, like they did with Ron Paul back in, when was it, 2008? His New Hampshire votes all went for somebody else.
Yeah,
so
that's when I was done.
Yeah.
That's when I was done. I poured my soul into the campaign, dragged my camera gear around and did, and then he said, maybe somebody said, you know, you want to see your granddaughter graduate? You want to walk her down the aisle? And then he says, well, we're done. We're not going to be able to win. And then he bailed. And that's when I said, I'm done.
A lot of people did that. I worked at the campaign office, for Pete's sake. My friend and I worked. We made cookies, passed cookies out at the train stop at 6:30 in the morning. We worked our butts off.
Made you feel good, though, didn't it?
I felt like I was engaged in something really good. And I think that if you support Art, you'll also get that feeling. Go ahead.
I'm going to keep up in my prayers. See, you can't go into a cesspool and expect to start cleaning it up. Okay? It's a corporation. These guys have sold out. That's S-O-U-L-E-D. You're dealing with Luciferians. It's a spiritual battle. Now, when America repents and stops, you know, said, that's it. I'm stop giving you the cash. I'm not going to participate in this. I say the five most powerful words are, no, I do not consent. And stop being governed by evil people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I give them credit for, you know, the effort, but, you know, but one thing I do think that is reassuring. There's a, not to plug another show, but there's a new host, and it's Grand Jury Reawakening. Now, if the people come back together in a du jour capacity and put the du jour grand juries back in place and hold these sheriffs to their oath to the community and to the people, we may have something.
That would be great. Well, thank you for sharing that. Is that on RBN?
Yes, I think the 10 a.m. Central spot.
Okay. All right.
Blessings.
Okay, well, thank you. Okay, let's take, Art, did you want to say something before we take another call?
I was trying to understand him again, you know, some of the calls, hard to understand what they're saying. But did I understand he said that he wasn't going to pay any taxes or any of that kind of thing?
He said it's really hard to clean out the swamp, and I tend to agree with him. And he quit voting back in 2008 when Ron Paul threw in the hat after he was threatened, after his granddaughter was threatened. And because a lot of people did that. We all felt like, oh, he's the answer. This is what we need. And people got discouraged, I think. I think a lot of people get discouraged because they can see the problem and they just don't know how to fix it. It's very frustrating. But anyway.
Well, I was a supporter of Ron Paul too. I went to Iowa there and demonstrated on his behalf. You know, and I also was a very active supporter of Pat Buchanan. As a matter of fact, I met Pat Buchanan down at what used to be called Coke and Bertano's bookstore on State Street when he showed up there to promote his book, his biography, right from the beginning. And I bought two copies of it, and he autographed each one. And I gave him, in turn, some literature from the America First Committee. And he sent me about a letter about 3 weeks later I received from him thanking me for the literature. He said he found it very interesting. And about 6 months later, he announced that he's running for president on the theme of America First. So now Trump has taken up that theme, and the ADL says he's independent.
Well, it works. Seems to work. Got him elected.
Yeah.
So let's take another phone call. Let's take Dr. Kelly in California. Dr. Kelly, welcome.
Hey, it's great to speak with you again, and thank you much for taking my call.
I always enjoy your phone calls.
Right on, and I enjoy your guests and the topics that you cover and getting us educated and fired up. And I'm actually the one that did start the grand jury reawakening at 10 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday on RBN.
Wonderful.
I'm super inspired by your work and your guests, and it was sort of an unaddressed issue, and I really wanted to bring it up, and I really just would love to wake up the 16 counties next door in the Nevada Republic and the other 57 here in the California Republic and everything basically north and west of Texas, because they've got it together. And I would hope that this gentleman that's running for Congress, that if people are sending cash, that you wrap it up in tin foil and that you reach out maybe to the skateboarders and the rollerbladers and skaters and bicyclists to help you cover that territory with a little bit more efficiency. And that way you're not burning a bunch of holes in your shoe leather there.
That sounds like a good idea.
And it's a fun way to meet neighbors and, learn how to win friends and influence people in a positive manner.
Well, what do you think, Art?
Well, what we've been doing here, we've been going to churches in the area, okay? We have a banner that has a picture of the Virgin Mary that was shot all to hell by the Israelis, a tank gunner, elevated his machine gun and shot at the statue of the Virgin Mary in a church in Bethlehem, okay? Blew off her hand, blew off part of her face, hit her 69 times. And that's on my literature.
Oh my
it's on the
gosh.
Back of the flyer that I read you, all of my different positions. I got a picture of that statue which shot all the heck by this Israeli gunner. I said this is symbolic of the extreme hatred that Jews have for Christians. Okay? And believe me, when people see that, almost every, Sir Jessica is a very heavily Catholic area. And there are literally hundreds of homes have that statue right there in their yard. And when they see what this Israeli gunner did to a holy icon like that, believe me, it gets a response. And I think that's why I got 20,696 votes, despite everything the Republican Party did to dissuade people from voting against me. They did robocalls against me. I had two robocalls from the state chairman of the Republican Party called my place. It was an automatic deal, his voice on there. Two from him, one from Sean Morrison, the chairman of the Cook County Republican Party, and one from the governor of the state. saying, don't vote for Arthur Jones. He's not a real Republican. He's a Nazi. He doesn't believe in the Holocaust. He doesn't, believe in racial integration and on and on and on. All right? They mailed a card that said the same thing out there on their robocalls. Then they had people going door to door putting out literature against me. The Tribune wrote against me. The Sun-Times wrote against me. All right? And they put up two websites against me, one for the Illinois Republican Party, one for the National Republican Party, doing everything, calling me everything but a white man, all right? But despite all of that, I still received 20,696 votes. And I did that on a budget of less than $1,000. Now, if I had a decent budget to work with, I believe I could win this campaign. And once I'm in Congress, I would use that position as a national bully pulpit, if you will, okay, and speak out very strongly about all these issues we've been discussing, okay? We had a congressman named Jim Trafficant that did just exactly that, and he ended up getting killed, all right? Well, that might happen to me, but it's worth it if I can make people realize what's happening in this country and who's responsible for it, and what we have to do to correct the situation.
You sound like a great statesman, and I wish you the best in your endeavors there, and, always praying for your enemy and not laughing at him, even though it's tempting, and wish you the best, and thank you much again.
California, is that right, ma'am?
That's correct, yes, in the northern counties
you've got a very courageous young man out there named Patrick Little that's running for the U.S. Senate, and I encourage you to vote for him.
All right, I've got a great relationship with my Senator Ted Gaines, who is a farmer and who responded with facsimile of various Senate bills as they had been vetoed by Jerry Brown, that 5G network got defeated on Senate Bill 649, and I'm hoping that the other states can use that to their advantage, too, to keep the environment safe and secure and healthy.
Well, I encourage you to vote for Patrick Little because he's standing against the same powerful forces that I'm standing for here, all right? And he is a veteran of the war in the Middle East. He served in the Marine Corps in Afghanistan, okay? He put his life on the line for the Jews, and he comes back here and he realized, you know, that we've got no business in the Middle East, and he's courageous enough to admit it, and he's speaking out against the influence of the Jews in our government and in our culture and in our country and in our economy. And he's got a lot of guts, and I salute the man, all right? He's a young guy. It's the first time he's ever run for public office, and he really deserves your vote, okay?
All righty.
Great. Right on. Thank you much.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly. Pat Tillman was going to come back and tell the people the same thing, that we shouldn't be there, but he was assassinated before he had the chance to do that. And he was... he was popular. He would have, people would have believed him. Anyway, let's take Frank in South Carolina. Frank.
Deanna, that's Frank, almost in South Carolina. I'm actually in North Carolina. I'm about 10 miles away.
Oh, okay.
About 10 minutes away. Hey, I have a couple of questions for
you.
I have a couple of questions for Mr. Jones. Can you hear me okay, Mr. Jones?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Jones, do you believe in the Holocaust of the German people after World War II?
Oh, the Holocaust of the German people.
I
read a book called After the Reich, and the atrocities that the German people were put through at the end of World War II is absolutely abominable. I also read a book called Other Losses by a Canadian writer named James Baku, where he detailed the fact that after World War II was over, we had over 1 million German POWs, and they were put in open camps in Austria, okay, with no shelter whatsoever, not even a tent, okay? and during the winter months. And a lot of them died during the winter months. And the French, get this, the French came in there and captured some of these German POWs and enslaved them, put them as slaves. And the British, they came in with bulldozers and buried some of these German soldiers alive. I mean, that's over a million German POWs that were murdered under the authority of Dwight D. Eisenhower, that they want to erect some monument in Washington for. I think it's an outrage. And the way that the Rudolf Hess was treated, a man that tried to end World War II, he flew on May 10th, 1941, in a ME-110 Messerschmitt, that's a two-engine fighter plane, okay, to England. His plane was shot down, and he parachuted. He was captured by the British. He said, listen, I have a message from the Fuhrer. He wants to talk. You know, and in this carnage between Britain and Germany. And instead, they threw him in prison. He stayed there till the end of the war. Then they brought him out at the end of the war and tried him as a war criminal and gave him life in prison. And he was given an opportunity several times to denounce Adolf Hitler and denounce his own countrymen who fought bravely to stop communism in Russia and from spreading throughout Europe. But he would not do it. He would not sign a confession. He would not place the blame of World War II on Hitler. He would not betray his fallen countrymen. He said, I would rather die in prison, an honorable man, than live in freedom as a scoundrel. And so because they couldn't break him, he was murdered. And now stand on the parking lot. So yes, I'm aware of what happened to the German people after World War II. Also, a book called Gruesome Harvest, all right?
Okay.
And that details the rampage that American GIs and Russian soldiers engaged in.
Okay. We do have to go to a quick 3-minute break momentarily.
I just have one more quick question.
Go ahead. Save the question. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and we have as our guest today Art Jones. ArtJonesForCongressman.com is his website, and you may send a check to him to help his campaign to P.O. Box 598, Lyons, Illinois 60534. And we have Frank on, and I do want to mention a current book. Thomas Goodrich wrote, Summer, 1945, Germany, Japan, and the Harvest of Hate. Fabulous, fabulous, tear-jerking book. Okay, Frank, do you want to conclude some remarks here so that Art can reply?
Well, sure. Thank you, Diana. Mr. Jones, if elected, do you think there's anything you could do? I mean, with regards to what happened to the American people on 9/11 and because of 9/11, I mean, no one was ever held accountable. How would you address that if you think there's any way that you could?
Well, you know, that's I've read Christopher Boland's book on the 9/11, and he makes a very strong case that it was a Mossad operation. Okay, with the cooperation of our own government, all right? And I'm also concerned about the fact that the men of the USS Liberty have not received justice yet either. I'm also concerned about the fact that the two men that were charged at Pearl Harbor, General Short and Admiral Kimmel, also have their reputations, absolutely destroyed on a frame up, okay, to lay the blame for Pearl Harbor on them. So those are three important issues that I would love to take on in Congress, all right? And I'm sure that if I got in there, I would raise holy hell about all of those things, all right? And yes, there's something can be done once the issues are raised, but the problem is nobody in Congress so far has had the guts to raise those issues. No one talked about the liberty there in Congress. No one talked about the shame of what happened to Kimmel and Short on Pearl Harbor. And no one has dared touch about the World Trade Center, okay? but I would do it. All right? If you want someone to deal with those issues, then you help put me in Congress, and I will do it, sir. That's a promise. But I need,
all right, thank
again,
you.
I hate to sound like a money grubber here, but I need financial support. All right? If you don't want to write a check, I can understand that. You can just simply buy a money order at a currency exchange. Don't even fill the thing out. I'll fill the money order out, and I'll deposit my account. So that way, no one knows that you supported me. All right? But I need financial support. Believe me. I'm going up a guy with a $2 million war chest. He spent $2 million to defeat his opponent, and he's still got another couple of million left.
Wow.
But I don't need that kind of money. I've got notoriety thanks to the Jews media, okay? And the fact that I've been around for a long time, people know who I am, all right? But I need your financial support to wage a good fight, all right? Even if I don't win, I can at least give a good account of myself and maybe, you know, strike some conscience here in some of these other gutless Republicans. And they might want to take up some of the issues that I'm raising, okay? But nothing gets done in politics without money, all right? So
that's
I need
true.
Your help.
All right. Okay? We
so,
have run out. We have run out of time. I'm sorry. We've run out of time. Art, thank you so much. Thanks for your courage. God bless you for your efforts. Talk to you next week.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you, Art. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners.